Hello there, thanks for joining us on The Sweet Spot. It's Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer looking back on last weekend and looking ahead to two absolutely superb star-studded tournaments this week. We've got a load to get through. They really, really are good events. Can't wait to hear who Steve fancies. First of all, Steve, how you doing? Good weekend?
Yeah. Not bad. Enjoy the Abu Dhabi Championship. Tyrrell Hatton produced an almost faultless final round display, didn't he? Missed a short birdie part of the first, but he was awesome from there. Nobody carded a superior final round score in that field than Hatton. I mean, to do that in the final two or alongside Rory McIlroy, incredibly gutsy. So, yeah, I take my hat off to Hatton.
Well, I take my hat off to you, and I'm sure a lot of people do. We had a lot of messages after Sunday. I gave you the deliberate low-key build-up there, but obviously it was fantastic. And just in case anyone didn't realise, Steve put up Tyrrell Hatton at 12-1 to win in Abu Dhabi, and then 60-1, although not many people got 60, so I'm happy to call it 50-1, Siwoo Kim in the Amex. It was a brilliant performance, and we even got a little bit of place money with Abraham Ancer, didn't we? He sneaked in, having gone off the radar a bit. So, well played, Steve. A fantastic double. You must have been delighted with that. Did you go to bed on Sunday night with a warm glow?
Yeah. I went to bed feeling great for Siwoo Kim. I mean, what a player. I mean, he's been on a victory drought of almost 4 years, but he's still only 25. And this was a prodigy. You know, in his late teens, he was brilliant. I'm so pleased he's got back on board now. I mean, I was oozing confidence throughout that final round. I know you and me were texting and you were trying to calm me down.
I was pessimistic, but wasn't I? But you were like, oh, no, it's all over. This will not be beaten and all this.
He was swinging so well.
Set yourself up for disappointment. That was faultless, wasn't it? That was absolutely faultless. Like, you know, when you've backed a golfer, you kind of expect the worst. You think every shot's going to go into the water. But he never gave us a moment's worry, really, did he? The worry was obviously Cantlay coming up there like that. And I've got to say this, I was so delighted that Cantlay lost, because what a ridiculously slow player. It was a disgrace how slowly it was going. So I was delighted he lost. I mean, it was a brilliant final round. But for goodness sake, I suppose it's not his fault, is it, Steve? The PGA have got clamped down. But the knock-on effect of that, of course, was that Kim was having to stand there and wait for like 15 minutes to play his final approach to 18. It's just not fair, is it?
Well, I think Russell Knox was hacking away up in front, which was quite useful for us, because it dropped him out the places and got Abraham Ancer in the places. But yeah, Siwoo Kim was just swinging superbly all weekend. He didn't make that many putts, really. It was so consistent from tee to green. And, you know, Claude Harmon is his coach, and they've clearly done an amazing job on him now. Got to keep an eye on Kim going forward.
Could he be an elite player, do you think, now?
Yeah, I mean, he won the Players' Championship in 2017, was expected to be, you know, a superstar. He is a world-class player. I mean, the biggest problem for Siwoo Kim going forward is this military service that he's going to have to do, which will hinder his career. You know, a couple of years of military service, and he'll have to drop the golf clubs for 2 years. So he hasn't done that yet, and it's a great shame he's got to do that. And maybe he can win an Olympic gold medal. I think if you win an Olympic medal, you get exempt from that military service. I think that's the rules in Korea. Wow. So that hopefully that'll happen and he can get going again. But to finish birdie par and you know, really not miss a shot, it was hugely impressive.
Off Twitter, Steve, but I mean, I hope you went on there just to feel the love, because there was a lot of people out there who clearly did follow you in, and it was great to see that. And it's lovely to see everyone's nice words. So well done. I'm sure you got a big hit of professional pride off that, didn't you?
Yeah. The wife lurks around the social medias and alerts me to any positive stuff. I do appreciate all those comments. And everyone's sort of wondering whether I've landed the absolute jackpot there. Unfortunately not, because Siwoo Kim was number two selection rather than number one. I mean, you know, I always go for the crown jewels on the two number ones. And if Abraham Ancer had won, it would have been a much more lucrative week. But I'm certainly not going to grumble about what happened. You know, I know lots of people did have the double, so I'm very, very pleased for him.
Certainly did. Well done. Just going back to Abu Dhabi there, there was a bit of a worry with Hatton, wasn't it? He didn't have a great Saturday, but he came out Sunday and absolutely put it to bed early. Whereas Rory struggled, didn't he? So what do you make of those two, just in terms of how we regard them? Now, they're both back in action this week, obviously, so I guess they may form part of your tipping. But it was just interesting to see how their fortunes fluctuated over the weekend, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, on Sunday, McIlroy made a good start, but then he missed a tiddler for par at the fourth. I think that was a game changer. I think the writing was on the wall from there. Real roller coaster of a week for McIlroy fans. He had brilliant first round, rubbish second round, brilliant third round, rubbish fourth round. You know, he's such a mercurial character in the, but he hadn't played since the Masters, so he's entitled to be a bit rusty. And he had three new clubs in the bag last week, McIlroy. He had a new driver, new three wood, new five wood. Hatton, much less rusty, much more comfortable with his equipment. And obviously, Hatton had that recent winning experience. He won two big events last year. McIlroy hasn't won since November 2019. So I think that told in the end. And Hatton is now above McIlroy in the world rankings.
That's interesting. What I like about Hatton, Steve, is he just seems to be controlling his emotions. He lets it out a bit, doesn't he? There's the odd exhortation, isn't there? But he's not hacking away at the turf with his club or completely losing the plot, is he? It's like, it's kind of controlled, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. His temperament's definitely improved. And I don't know if you saw that skit last week, the Angry Boys video.
Yes, it was really funny.
Angry Golf was really funny. Yeah, it was. It was hilarious. But I think there was a serious message coming through it. I mean, Hatton has improved his temperament, reacting rather than just blind rage now. He sort of has these comedy sort of thumbs up and stuff, doesn't he? And there's other players that are around that table. Matt Wallace is another one. We'll come to him later. One of my selections this week. I think those two I think Hatton has achieved it, improving his temperament. I think Wallace is on the path to improving his temperament. I think there was a serious message to take from a very funny video.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing as well. Hats off to the fella who does all that European tour social media stuff. I think they do that really, really well. It's excellent. I thought Poulter was really good in that as well. But anyway, back to the golf. Any other golfers, maybe kind of big price, obscure types who took a step forward in your estimation in either tournament last week, Steve?
I had two eye catchers from last week. They're both in the staking plan this week, so
we'll come to them then. So should we do it now? First of all, before we do get stuck into this week's tips, I am going to say this, and I don't want to sound like your granddad, but a punter is at the most susceptible when they've just had a winner. So, you know, if you've had the doubles last week or you didn't have the doubles and you thought, well, this is a licensed sprint money, the chances are none of Steve's tips will win this week, okay? So please do be sensible. Do keep your stakes low. Don't go mad. But hopefully you can have a bit of fun and win a few quid. So we'll start with the Dubai Desert Classic. Has it got a sponsor? We better give the sponsor a big up, haven't we, in case they send us some of their produce.
I think it's Amiga, isn't it? They might send us a watch.
Oh, Amiga,
a watch?
Okay. Yeah. Wristwatch, yeah.
I'd like you to be my granddad, bro. I've never had a granddad. They all died before I was born. I've never, ever had a granddad.
Well, Oh, really? They both died?
Both perished before I was born. So you can take that role on if you want. But no, I think... yeah, we've got to stake sensibly, but more aggressively than last week. I've just got to turn this heater off. I've forgotten to turn the heater off.
Okay, well, while you are doing that, I will read through the Dubai Desert Classic prices. Hatton is back in action. He's favourite, ran about 15-2. 10-1, Tommy Fleetwood. 12-1, Colin Morikawa. Why don't you take your hat off if you're that hot?
Well, I will now. Yeah, I've misjudged it. I usually...
Have you got hat hair, though?
Yeah, probably I've got hat hair now. No, oh, dear, look at that.
Okay. 16-1, Fitzpatrick, and it's 25-1, but... 25-1 bar, but that brings in the likes of Casey and Wallace. So it's a really good tournament, this. How many selections you got, Steve?
Four.
Okay. First of all, what kind of course is it? What type of player are we looking at here?
We're at Emirates Golf Club Dubai, 7,353 yards, par 72. Similar test to last week's, four par fives. Last year was a windy and wild edition. 9-under par got you into a playoff, but traditionally a very low-scoring affair in good weather. Great weather forecast this week, so I expect lots of birdies on very straightforward flat greens.
It was really important, by the way, wasn't it, in the end, that you did your homework on the weather, wasn't it? Because there was a distinct draw bias early on in that last week. So, but you expect this week nice and calm, no hard luck stories for anybody, no?
Little bit of breeze in the afternoons, but nothing major.
That's the longest adjustment of headphones I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, we're there now, we're there.
You're right, yeah? Yeah. Okay, well, let's, without further ado, who is your headline selection in Dubai this week, Steve?
Well, I've had this song in my head for the last 48 hours, and I'll explain why afterwards. You can leave your hat on. You can leave your hat on. But I don't think it's advisable. Right, let me explain.
Can you just explain what that song was?
You know,
or is that
song,
an original I don't.
No, have you not heard that song? That's a classic. Most listeners would have heard that song. You can leave your hat on.
Who's it by?
It's an old classic. I'm not sure exactly who's by. And then Yeah, it's a bit sort of pervy. The ladies undressing, what's going on? I hope everyone knows that song. It's just some weird thing I've watched. It's in that film. What's that film where they all the blokes doing dancing? It's like strippogram things. Oh, sorry. Anyway,
Full Monty.
Full Monty. It's in that.
Okay.
But let me explain why I needed to sing that song. I can't get it out of my head, actually, because I assumed that Tyrrell Hatton would be an unbackable price this week, okay, after those heroics. Because it's a very short journey from Abu Dhabi to Dubai, playing a very similar track to last week's, facing a weaker field than he destroyed last week. I thought he'd be a best price 5-1, and I thought we would have to leave Tyrrell Hatton.
I see.
But there's about a 15-2 around. He's a general 7-1. Very easy to back at 7-1. I think it's a wonderful price. I mean, he's won back-to-back titles before. In 2017, he won the Donegal Links Championship in Scotland, jetted off to Italy the following week and won the Italian Open. His full form figures after his previous 6 main tour victories are 9-1, 11, 46, 3-3. So when Hatton gets his tail up, he powers on through. And I think the world rankings that I mentioned earlier are such a carrot for him at the moment. He's up to world number 5. I can't see him resting on his laurels now. I mean, he can set, you know, a world rankings personal best to tell the grandchildren about. These are heady times for Tyrrell Hatton. So, yeah, I can, if he's fresh enough and focused enough, which I don't see why he won't be, I think he can obliterate this course. His form figures there, last 4 visits, 8-3, 3-38.
Brilliant. Wow. Okay, so we're going to go with Tyrrell Hatton. And don't forget, as we always say on the show, shop around for best prices and also best each way terms, because there will be some people who did the Hatton answer double last week who got thwarted because they didn't get the best each way terms. It's really, really important. Okay, so Hatton's the main selection, and there's 3 others, Steve. Give us a spin through those.
The next best is Matt Wallace, who we've already mentioned was in that Angry Golfers video. You know, Hatton and Wallace are probably the 2 angriest golfers in European Tour history. But as I say, they both are really improving their temperaments. I love Wallace's new attitude, and I love his caddy appointment. He is in the close season, he's appointed Gareth Lord as his caddy, one of the best caddies in the business. Last week was their first time together, 4 solid rounds, finished 7th. Wallace has finished runner-up in all 3 of the European Tour Dubai events. This tournament, the DP World Tour Championship, and then last year in the Golf in Dubai Championship. I see Wallace being the main danger to Hatton this week. He's back on my radar now, Wallace. I got frustrated with him at the end of last year because we were on him in the Scottish Championship, 3 shots clear going into the final round, and didn't win. I left him alone for a bit, but yeah, I think we've got to appreciate how much pressure he was under at the end of last year. He was trying to get back in the top 50 of the world rankings to set himself up for all the majors this year, get access to all the majors, going for a Ryder Cup debut. I think he put himself under extreme pressure. He achieved his goal. He finished 49th in the world rankings at the end of last year, so he's in everything this year. I think he's started the new year much more relaxed. Great new sidekick. Wallace will kick on and win a tournament soon.
Okay, what price is Wallace?
Wallace opened 25-1, being nibbled 22-1 now. Hatton 15-2, 7-1.
Are you going to go for some more exotic prices now?
Very much so, John. 2 more. Danny Willett, 3 Englishmen can fill the top 3 on the board this year. Obviously a class act, 2016 Masters champion. Always dangerous in Dubai. Won the 2016 Dubai Desert Classic. Won the 2018 DP World Tour Championship. There were signs of life from Hatton at the end of last year. And last week, from the bad draw, you mentioned the draw by Willett, had a bad draw, finished 16th, which was a great effort in the circumstances. Closed with a 68. So Willett can go close to an 8th European Tour title. And then the final one at a big price, we're sticking with him, Romain Langask. I want to give him another go. Bursts of brilliance last week, tied with Willett for 16th place. I think he plays desert golf very well. I think this more straightforward assignment this week will help him. He likes to be super aggressive. So yeah, Langask is worth a double at juicy prices again.
And what price roughly are Willett and Langask, Steve?
Willett is 55-1. Langask is 70-1.
Brilliant. Okay, well, if you thought the European Tour offering was good, it's even better in America, where they are at Torrey Pines for the Farmers Insurance Open. This should be really, really good. Here is the latest on the front runners. In the betting, we've got 7-1 Johnny Rahm, round about 8-1 Rory, 12-1 Xander Schauffele, and you've got Finau at 20s, and then 25-1 brings in Harris English, Patrick Reed, Matsuyama's playing, Hovland's playing, Wolf's playing. So really, really good tournament this. And first of all, Steve, I suppose the interesting thing here is that the US Open is at Torrey Pines later this year. So a few players will be having a good sighter of that, won't they?
Yeah. We've got to watch this like hawks. It won't be set up much differently to this. It's just always a hard golf course. They make it tougher for the US Open, but yeah, it'll be tough this week. I mean, the greatest major ever played was at Torrey Pines 2008. Tiger Woods winning on a broken leg. So, yeah, I can't wait for this US Open. But
Steve, if you won fortunes and you decide to go off on a round-the-world golf holiday, where would Torrey Pines be on the menu? It just looks amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would have to be on the list, yeah. Yeah, no doubt we'd get over there and then a marine layer would delay us for several hours. They often have the marine layer, don't they? No one knows how we get that. But
what would be the first course you'd head to?
Well, if I had access to all of them, I think Augusta National would be on the radar. But I haven't really, I don't know whether I've got an in to get there. What would you go for?
Ooh, blimey, I don't know. I quite like Leopard Creek in South Africa for the wildlife.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Quite you like your Lynx golf courses, don't you? You love going
no,
to...
No, like, no interest. Once you've played one Lynx course, you've played them all. They're all exactly the same. No interest in that. Anyway, everyone's gagging to know who you fancy. How many selections?
Three. Just three for this one. Yeah. Three.
There you go.
Yeah, which is only one more than the amount of courses we got this week. We must make it clear this is another two-course event. Like last week, a two-course event in California. Torrey Pines South will stage three of the four rounds. Torrey Pines North, which is normally about two shots easier, will stage one of the rounds. So, yeah, be aware of that. And the number one selection is Harris English, who has been playing superbly for 16 months. At the end of last year, he finished runner-up in the Northern Trust and he finished fourth in the US Open. He signed off for 2020 with fifth place in the Mayakoba Classic. Then he won the QBE Shootout Pairs event alongside Matt Kuchar. Had a very tiny Christmas break and then straight back at it with victory in the Century Tournament of Champions. Really impressive in that. Superb down the stretch. Won a playoff. English has got his game in magnificent order, and I would describe it as weakness-free. You know, he's got a weakness-free game at the moment, and Torrey Pines is the sort of course where it exposes any weaknesses, and English hasn't got any at the moment. And he finished, he lost a playoff there in 2015 in this event. So, yeah, Harris English is my overwhelming number one selection for this event.
And he's around about 25s, isn't he?
He is.
Okay, and then the other two?
Next best, a much bigger prize, Cameron Davis, a player I've liked a lot for a while. We were on him in the Sanderson Farms in October. He got into the final two ball in that alongside Sergio Garcia. So a high pressure gig for a maiden. Sergio Garcia ended up winning. But I think Davis took a lot from that experience. He's getting more comfortable in contention on the PGA Tour now. He said that himself. His golf game is world class. His swing is absolutely textbook. Craig Perks, I know you're a big fan of Craig Perks. We love Craig Perks on this podcast and we love his wife, Maureen. Craig Perks says that Cameron Davis's swing is the best on tour. Which is a bold statement, but I can see where he's coming from. It is absolutely textbook. And I think Davis will definitely win on the PGA Tour. He's won the Australian Open 2017. He's won on the Korn Ferry Tour in 2018. And last week, he finished third behind Siwoo Kim, closed with a 64. So
he was very good, wasn't he, on Sunday? I thought he refused to go away, didn't he?
He's plucky, wasn't he? Plucky. And that swing is awesome. I think he's got all the tools. He's played three times at Farmers Insurance. Not some, you know, some rookie coming into Torrey Pines. He's played there three times, made the cut every time.
Cool. Excellent. What price is he? Sorry, that was 60 to 1.
Sorry.
Yeah, six swig there, wasn't it?
I got a bit dry there. 60 to 1.
Okay. And thirdly?
Third and final selection is Will Zalatoris. He played in the 2018 Farmers Insurance Open when he was ranked 1,925th in the world rankings. He missed the cut by a shot with a pair of 72s. No disgrace in that, given his status. He returns for his second Farmers start, ranked 62nd in the world rankings. He started last year 672nd in the world rankings. It just shows what a rapid rise he's had. Basically, last year, pretty much every time he played, he was on the leaderboard. I know most of them were on the Korn Ferry Tour and the lower grade, but he was sixth in the US Open. He was eighth in the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. He was fifth in the Shriners Open. Zalatoris's long game is absolutely top class. I think Torrey Pines South is a great place for him to show this off. He's a Californian playing in his home state. He's only 24. I think Zalatoris could make a PGA Tour breakthrough on Sunday.
Wow. Tell us something interesting about Will Zalatoris.
Well, he's I think Jordan Spieth has always said, he's good mates with Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth has always said that Will Zalatoris is the best ball striker he's ever seen. You know, he really rates him. He probably admits he's better than him now, you know, the way what's happened to Jordan Spieth. I'm excited about
it. What price is he, Zalatoris?
He's 66-1, yeah, 66-1. I mean, he's making his first start of the year, so that's the only concern about him. But, those are my three.
Quick word on the big three at the head of the market, Rahm, McIlroy and Schauffele. Steve, do you have a preference for any of them?
I don't like any of them. I mean, Rahm withdrew from the American Express last week because he injured his back in the gymnasium. This is why I stay away from gymnasiums, because, you know, so prone to injury in those gymnasiums. And, you know, he says he's fully fit for this, but we take that on. You know, he's got his new clubs as well. And in the Century, he's only appeared once this year in the Century Tournament Champions. He finished seventh. So everyone thought, oh, wow, his new clubs are world. That's a great performance. But you study the stats. That was all about his chipping. Around the greens, he was absolutely amazing. He didn't hit it particularly well. So I think we need to give Rahm more time to get used to these new clubs. He's got a pregnant wife at home. Never straightforward. Rory McIlroy has had a very long journey, hasn't he, from Abu Dhabi, I think, and a very confidence-denting final round. I can't have Rory McIlroy this week. Xander Schauffele is on a long losing streak. I mean, a bit like Matt Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick ended it last year. Xander Schauffele, I think the losing streak's in his head, you know, not to the toe.
Talking about long losing streaks, I was just about to say, I mean, Finau went into Sunday, didn't he? Joint level. He birdied the first two. It was too clear. And I'm thinking, is this the week when he just gets it done? It was just so ragged after that, wasn't it? I mean, how could you... You can back him top five and top ten because he's really good at that, isn't he? But could you honestly back him to win a tournament?
I haven't. I can't remember the last time I backed Tony Finau. I just don't think he's a good putter. You know, he tries all these different methods. You know, whether he's a bottler or a choker, I don't like getting involved in those sort of debates. But Is he a bad putter? Yeah, I'm emphatically a bad putter. Yeah,
he's got that funny grip, hasn't he? Sort of does that, doesn't he? Either side of the shaft.
It's a disgusting putting stroke. I have no urge ever to back Tony Finau. I love the bloke. Such a nice bloke.
He is, isn't he? And it's a great backstory, isn't it? I mean, you know, he grew up in relative poverty, and he was whacking, him and his brother used to whack balls against the wall in the back garden because they didn't have any other practice facilities. So he's earning fortunes, and I hope he's really happy in life.
He's got 10,000 kids. He's got 10,000 kids, and one day when he finally does it, surely he'll win something eventually. All those 10,000 kids are going to run onto the green in a big, beautiful moment. So I look forward to that moment, but I don't think my money will be on when it happens.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you very much, Steve. Let's solemnly recap the seven selections this week for anyone who didn't catch them all. First off, the Dubai Desert Classic.
Tyrrell Hatton, Matt Wallace, Danny Willett, Romain Langasque.
And the Farmers Insurance Open.
Harris English, Cameron Davis and Will Zalatoris.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Steve. Anything exciting apart from the golf to light up your life between now and when we next convene?
We just need some winners, don't we, to keep ourselves sane. I mean, Hatton just kept me going last week. Homeschooling. Oh, there'll be parents out there that appreciate this. You try homeschooling a five-year-old with an aggressive one-year-old teaching assistant alongside you. I don't see how it's possible.
You sent me that video, didn't you? You were lying in what I suppose passes for the classroom in your house, and you decided the next lesson was to teach them, say, 180 like Russ Bray.
I find shouting 180 as loud as I can levels me out a little bit. Whenever I feel like, yeah, the angry golfers could learn a bit from me. I don't know whether they'd let this happen on the golf course, but whenever I'm feeling like so enraged by the fact I'm homeschooling a five-year-old with a one-year-old teaching assistant, if I do a 180 at the top of my voice, it calms me down. And like the kids find it fun. I'll just be like, 180! And then I'm becalmed. And the kids laugh. So it is a double positive.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I'm really struggling with the homeschooling. I can't wait for the schools to go bad, but I know the reasons why we've got a battle through.
Hopefully it'll be sooner rather than later. Okay, Steve, thank you very much again. Congratulations on last week. Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for all your kind messages last week. We love doing the show, and it's always great when Steve can provide you guys with some decent winners. As we've said, do please make sure that you don't get carried away this week. Golf betting is difficult. Winners are hard to come by. stake sensibly, but hopefully we can follow up on last week's good work this week. Have a fantastic week, and we're back next week with what, Steve? What have we got to preview next week?
We have got the Phoenix Open, have we? We've got the Saudi International, and I think we've got the Phoenix Open.
Brilliant. Okay, lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, Steve, and thank you for watching us. Join us next week for another Sweet Spot.